This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
Sparky Show in stereo. Oh, 0344 499 1000. Good evening, Ewan.
Hi.
Good evening,
Hi, Ian.
Ewan.
Can I
take a guess at your last name?
Yep.
Is it Huzami?
No.
Okie dokie. No. Okie dokie. Ewan, what can we do for you this evening?
Yeah, I'm sorry to start the evening with a bit of a heavy call, but I'm an alcoholic, and I've fallen off the wagon.
Uh-oh. It hurts, huh? It's a long drop.
Yeah, it's awful.
So why are you phoning me?
Because I wanted to reach out, and I was too scared to... I mean, I don't have any friends. I do with my parents, but they know that I was drinking over the Christmas period. They don't know about the last several days, maybe.
Right.
But
how old are you, man?
I'm 32.
32. Okay. All right. So we got plenty of time to fix this. Right. And you say you've fallen off the wagon. How long were you sober for?
Oh, I had my about 9 months.
Okay, brilliant. That's great. And may I ask how you did it?
I went on disulfiram, which is a drug that makes you sick if you...
Okay. Have prescribed by your GP?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I tried AA, but I didn't really get on with the meetings that were around here, so I also went to a charity called Adaption, and a lot of talking therapy that really helped.
So how come, if you're taking this drug that makes you sick when you drink, how come you drank?
Well, I took myself.
You took yourself off the drug. That's the problem with that treatment.
Yeah.
Is it relies? Here's the thing: we're very devious addicts and alcoholics, very, very devious. And one of the classic tricks of alkies and junkies more, I would suggest, there are some subtle differences, but one of the classic tricks is to give your bank card to your partner or your parents or a trusted friend. And you go, well, if you've got my bank card, I can't go to the cash machine and get money out for booze, right? But there are ways around that. You steal it from your mum, or you go into the bank and you say, I've lost my cash card. Could you give me another cash card? Or when you do get the cash card to get money out, you take out 100 instead of 50. Or there are ways around everything. Because here's the thing, Ewan, that people don't know. Addicts and alcoholics are some of the cleverest people in the world. We are geniuses at lying, at manipulating, and at looking at a problem and working a cheat to get around that problem. We're the best. We're the best. So I've that drug that you talked about, I've always kind of thought, well, if I were on that and I wanted a drink, I'd just stop taking it. So you found that that doesn't work. It worked while you were on it.
Yeah.
So but you took yourself off it.
It was part of what. I mean, I had quite a while sober.
You had 9 months. Part of what worked. But you took yourself off it for whatever reason. You took your foot off of the pedal. And you cheated. You cheated yourself. You cheated yourself out of sobriety. Can I ask, and be honest with me, Ewan, how did it feel in the 9 months? How did it feel?
The best time of
my life. Why?
I was experiencing everything. It felt like I was experiencing everything for the first time.
Mm.
When I started drinking in my teens, it's been pretty constant since then, and having that time sober, things like sitting down to a book or a computer game or a radio or a podcast or whatnot, it felt like I was experiencing it for the first time, and it was
good, huh?
Yeah.
But at some point, you decided it wasn't good enough, and that you thought it'll be better with a bit of booze. What was the moment? What was the moment when you went and bought? What was the thinking when you went and bought that first bottle of booze?
It was just negative. Like, I hate myself. So
yeah.
This isn't going to work out, so why not?
Why not speed up death?
Yeah.
Why not speed up death? You want to die, but you don't want to do it in an instant way, like slitting your wrists or anything like that. You want to do it nice and slowly and punish yourself.
You want to kind of play around with oblivion, but still be able to wake up at some point.
Would you mind if I brought a friend of mine into this conversation?
Absolutely not.
Say hello to my friend Alistair.
Hello there.
Hi, Alistair.
Alistair, this is Ewan. Ewan, this is Alistair.
All right. Yeah.
Have you been listening, Alistair?
Well, I literally just turned on. Ewan was in the middle of explaining that he tried the tablet thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Alistair, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Because Ewan, Alistair's an alcoholic as well. How long sober are you now, Alistair?
I got my 8 month chip tonight.
Hey, come on! Can you just talk to us, Alistair, about how it works for you? And you, you're going to hear you. I'm just going to ask you. You're going to hear some stuff that is going to put you off a little bit from what Alistair shares, because you've already said you didn't enjoy the AA meetings. But would you just listen to what he has to say for a minute?
Oh, absolutely.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Alistair. Go on.
Okay, Ewan. Well. First of all, the first time I tried to stop drinking, I went to AA, and I got through about 4 or 5 meetings, and I thought, "Nah, this is not suiting me. It's so formal here, and you know, you've got to say, oh, I'm honest, and I'm an alcoholic, and I couldn't get it at the time. I was trying to listen, but." I think looking back, probably it was not my time, if you like, to be going there, to be able to listen and to be able to go consistently. So if you are struggling here in with alcohol, I did agree with what Ian just said about the thing about the tablets, because of course you can get around that quite easily. I've been 8 months sober now. The only reason I'm alive is because of AA. Okay, and what I'm going to say to you is, I don't know what your story is and how dramatic it is, and you may not have been as bad as me in terms of like drinking a bottle of whiskey a day, which was my experience at the end. But what I would suggest is just give it another try, man, because what can you lose by just going to a couple of meetings and sort of reassessing, you know, how you feel about it. And if it's still not for you, fine. But then, you know, you can try other things. But as a fellow alcoholic, you, and I wish you well. I wish you love and peace. And I hope that you can, you know, get some help and in whatever form that you decide. My suggestion is AA, but you might want to try other things if that doesn't suit. But at least, you know, try a couple, two or three meetings again and see how it goes.
All right. Well, thank you, Alistair. I really appreciate that, because I've heard your calls on the show before, and
how much are you drinking here at the moment? Do you mind me asking?
I'm on a box of wine or a litre of vodka a day.
Really? That'll do it.
That'll do it. That's Alistair's great. That is a great line. I'm laughing because it's so true. That'll do it. Ewan, what was your problem with? I think we both know, but what was your problem with the AA meetings?
My problem, I mean, there were things that I liked about it. My problem with it was I disliked it. There was a kind of a cultish feel to it that I didn't appreciate. I didn't like my local meetings because I felt there was dishonesty as well. I mean, there were some amazing stories, some amazing people that were speaking at these things. But then I also saw some of them at the pub down the road, like the next day, and that kind of thing.
Were they drinking alcohol?
Yeah.
Definitely?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they said that they hadn't been?
Yep.
So if they were lying, so what?
Well, I just thought, I.
How does that impact? How does them like? And I'm not having a go. I don't want this to sound accusatory or aggressive at all. I just want you to not die. And if you are really drinking that amount of booze a day, and it's funny, isn't it? When I know, I don't know about you, Alistair, but whenever I used to talk about how much I was drinking, I would downplay it. If you are drinking that amount of booze a day, you're going to die soon. And I don't want you to die, Ewan. So if they are lying, so what? How does that impact on you?
Find another meeting.
Sorry, Alistair, what did you...
Find another meeting, perhaps.
Yeah, I've got three different meetings up where I am. Oh, actually... I don't even know. I haven't been for months now, so I don't know exactly what meetings are going on up here. But my problem with when I knew that people at the meetings were still drinking was I really, really need to be honest. I'm sick of lying.
But you're not responsible for their lies or their honesty or lack of. You are only responsible for your honesty.
But I just want to know that the people that I'm reaching out to are also being honest. Maybe that's selfish. I'm not, I don't know.
May I speak honestly?
Yeah, of course.
I have never come across what you're saying. Let me rethink. I have come across that very, very rarely. Very rarely, like maybe 5 times in 16 years.
Do you mean people at meetings...
lying.
Not doing what they're... Right.
Lying about that they're clean when they're not, or sober when they're not. Like, I could count maybe 5 times. And a few months later, that person has come back and said, I've got to put my hands up. I was here 6 months ago and I said I was sober and I wasn't. I was going out and drinking afterwards. Mm. Their recovery isn't important. Here's the thing. I thought you were going to say God. God was the thing that put you off.
One thing that I did like about the meetings that I was at was that they did stress it's God as you understand it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not Jesus, it's not Allah, it's not the old fella with a beard on a cloud.
No.
Here's the thing, Ewan. You are killing yourself. You are going to die. Right? Sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
The only way... Now, listen, I don't know much about stopping alcohol immediately because cocaine and ecstasy was kind of my thing. You are drinking a lot of booze. I would really suggest you speak to your GP about whether it will be safe for you to stop immediately or whether you should work out some kind of program of cutting back gradually. Because I do know that if you stop drinking booze suddenly when you're drinking a lot, it can be very dangerous.
Yeah, alcohol withdrawal.
Can be very, very dangerous. My suggestion, go to a meeting. Go to a meeting and share everything you've shared with me. And when I say everything, everything you've said in this phone call about the amount of booze, about the fact that you were disheartened in AA because you saw people who claimed to be clean in a pub having a drink and that broke your heart and that you felt betrayed. Say that you like the idea of God as a higher power. Say you're drinking a litre of booze a day and you want to stop, but you don't know if it's safe to stop now. Because at some point after that meeting, someone will come up to you who has been... in a really similar position to you. It's amazing. It's amazing. Every time, and I bet Alistair will back me up on this, every time I have shared a specific problem or series of problems in a meeting, at the end of the meeting, someone has come up to me, and it's always the person I least expected it to be. Someone has come up to me and said, I've just got to say, I really like what you said there, and I had that same issue, and this is what I did. Have you had that, Alistair?
Absolutely. When I went back, I got a bunch of numbers, telephone numbers from a load of members. I've used those in between meetings to meet for coffee if I'm struggling. So immediately you've got a network of people that are there on hand and they will help you.
Ewan, roughly whereabouts are you? I don't mean the grid location, but roughly whereabouts?
Helensburgh. Outside of Glasgow.
Okay. All right. Cathy, I've just said that. Thanks, everyone, chipping in. I know what I'm doing. Hand on heart, what you're telling me is the truth, right?
Yeah.
There's loads of meetings in and near Glasgow, by the way.
Yeah.
Loads.
As far as Helensburgh goes, when I used to go to meetings, there were 3 locally. I don't know about them.
How easy is it for you to get into the city of Glasgow? Ewan? He's gone. Can we try and get Ewan back? Let's take a quick break. Alistair, stay there. This is Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A star-crossed soapbox for sailor boys, stable girls,
I'm on the edge,
and stripper grands.
It depends who you're with and it depends on the situation.
Late Night Speech Radio with a difference.
Thank you.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We lost you, and not like that. He's decided he's wanted to put the phone down, and we've Amy's rung him a few times, and it's rang, and he's not answered. And I suspect, Alistair, that maybe he's heard enough for tonight. But but thank you for that. Was for those who don't know, that was kind of a little mini meeting we had there. That's kind of what a 12-step meeting is like, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you, Alistair. I'm so proud of you. When I saw your name flashing up on the screen as I was talking to you, and do you know what? I breathed a little sigh of relief. 8 months ago, I'd have gone, oh, geez. But I breathed a little sigh of relief. I thought, oh, the cavalry's coming. So thank you for that, man. Thank you. What a change.
No, you're very welcome.
What a change. I'm getting quite emotional, actually. Getting quite emotional.
I did a bit of a kindness today.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I gave this. I was in the wonderful borough of Gainsborough in Lincolnshire with my mate and with his mum and dad. And we were going for a bit of lunch. And just next to it, there was this betting shop. And there was this guy outside who was busking. But he was an older guy. He was, I don't know, 70 or 80. But I couldn't judge his age absolutely because I think he'd been a drinker as well.
Yeah.
But he was actually playing his guitar really well, I thought, and singing okay. Now, I didn't have any money on me, but there was a cash point opposite, so I went and got some out and I gave him a fiver.
There you go, my friend. There you go. Did you get a fiver out of the cash point?
Actually, I had to get, because I didn't have any fives.
It's so very rare these days.
£10,
yeah.
And then if I give him 10, I think that might be like too much.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, five is plenty. Five is a great amount.
I got it changed in the betting shop and then gave it to him.
I was at a cash machine over Christmas and I got 20 quid out, four fivers.
Oh.
Got four fivers. I used to love it. You used to be able to go to a cash machine and ask for £5. And I got four fivers out and I felt thrilled. I don't know why, but I felt absolutely thrilled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alistair, you're a good man.
Can I just say something very quickly?
Oh, please. God, I would so love it if it was. Can I just say something very quickly, please? F off, you two. It's a real turn of things. Of course you can, Alistair. Of course you can.
Right. I mean, it's in the spirit of honesty, one of the things I do realise is I ring the show too often.
Oh.
Because, you know, I mean... I mean, last night you didn't want me on, which I completely understand.
Let me just say that sometimes there will be a few people that come on every single day, which is great. Yeah. We love the phone calls. But every now and then, I will say to Amy before the show, maybe if we don't have this person, this person, and this person tonight, and it's not in any way to say, oh, God, here we go. It's just simply to try and encourage new voices and to get new people on. So please, 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 please try not to take it personally.
Not at all, but I am going to try and ring a little bit less.
You ring whenever you feel that you want to ring. All right?
All right, mate. Well, look, thank you ever so much again.
You're an inspiration, Alistair. I hope you know that and you carry that around with you.
And you two are as well. I love you guys.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'm not quite sure why he was including you in that, Catherine. That seems a little bit...
I'm a very special, humble person.
There we go. We got Ewan back. Ewan accidentally got cut off before. Hey, Ewan.
Hi.
Thanks for coming back, man. Listen.
Yeah.
We thought we'd annoyed you. Listen, all I can do is share what worked for me, right? And what worked for me was going to 12-step meetings, trying to make myself sit at the front of the meetings if ever possible. And whenever you were invited to share, whether it be a raised voice or raised hands or newcomer's time, just do it. And I hate it. I hate sharing now. This is my job. I hate sharing now in meetings, and I talk for a living. But I make myself do it. If there's a silence, I jump in. And I share honestly. I have to be honest because, as you know, addiction and alcoholism is a disease of dishonesty, right? Yeah. All I can say is 12-step meetings saved my life several times. It was the only thing that stopped me drinking. It was the only thing that stopped me drinking. The only thing. I tried counselling. I tried therapy. I tried psychiatry. I tried antidepressants. I tried exercise. I tried Buddhism. I tried everything. The only thing that stopped me drinking and stopped me craving drinking was going to 12-step meetings.
Right. Okay, well, I appreciate that, yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking. Do you really want to get sober?
At the moment, I desperately do.
Would you do anything to get sober?
As far as today goes, I've tried weaning myself off by diluting what I'm drinking.
Would you do anything to get sober?
Yeah, I'm pretty desperate. Yeah, I would.
Okay, if I give you my phone number, the next time you fancy a drink, would you give me a call? Or would that make you feel uncomfortable?
No, look, that would be amazing. But I don't expect. I wouldn't ask that. Off you.
No, you've not asked. I am offering. Yeah. This is what we do in recovery. We keep it by giving it away. And what that means is, if we hear someone who's struggling, it helps me to stay clean and sober by helping you. So it's not completely altruistic. I'm getting quite a bit out of it. If I came out into the other little studio and took you off air and gave you my phone number, would you promise to give me a call the next time you fancied a drink? You can still have a drink after the call, but we'd have a little chat about it before you did it.
Would be amazing. Yeah.
All right, Catherine is going to take over the radio show for a second. We haven't got any calls lined up, but you can chat. You've probably got some stories, I'm guessing.
Okay.
I am going to come through, take you off air, Ewan, and I'm going to give you my phone number. And I know you're not going to share it or take the mick out of it or anything like that, but just, I'm giving it to you on the proviso that the next time you fancy having a drink, give me a call first, if you can.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Ewan, stay there. I'm going to speak to you in a minute. So let's play a little trail, and then Catherine's going to take over for a bit. This is Talk Radio.
Take a trip into the alternate reality of late night radio.
I think I'm in something like The Matrix, and so are you.
The Late Night Alternative.
Hello, hello.
With Ian Lee.
Is there anybody out there?
On Talk Radio.
Hello.
And just like that, he became me. 03444991000. If you want to give us a ring, you can call us about anything, as you just heard. Whether it's something, quote unquote, heavy or something light and frothy that you just wanted to share. You know, we're the phone call that you make when sometimes when your other friends are in bed and they're not picking up, but we're also, you know, here to hear any old thing. You know, the bar is very low. 0344 499 1000 is the number to ring. I know that Ian was keen to talk about this, so I'll start off and he'll probably pick up where I breathe in about 3 minutes' time. A lot of talk today about Harry and Meghan and them deciding that they are going to live part-time in North America and that they are not going to step up as senior royals anymore and they're going to work. See, this is the thing, work towards making themselves financially independent. And the fury online, and I know that the fury online is pretend because it's only people who are furious who get on to rant, but the fury online from people talking about two individuals they do not know and probably will never meet, and I would suspect from some of the messages are quite jealous of, is incredible, isn't it? The fact that these were probably the same people who were going on about the expense of the royal wedding, the fact that she didn't seem to want to play the game, you know, all this talk about, oh, she's leading him astray. I've heard that by quite reasonable people today on talk radio shows that I've been tuning into, not just here, but also elsewhere, different radio stations. She's leading him astray, like he's got no mind of his own. Now, I seem to remember before he got married, Prince Harry was always marching to the beat of his own drum, sometimes with greater or lesser amounts of success as far as the tabloid press were concerned. And now, of course, anything that goes wrong, for some people, it has to be the fault of her. It's just incredible. So we'll talk about that in a bit. 0344 499 1000. And also the fact that the newspapers seem to be dredging up all kinds of people who have insight, quote-unquote insight, into what's been going on in the lives of these two people. I saw today that Princess Diana's former bodyguard was talking about it and sort of suggesting, well, they think they had it bad, she had it worse. It's one of those situations where you think, well, she got punched in the face, so they should accept a kick in the ghoulies, should they? Is that the way it goes? You know, they're allowed to choose their own destinies. And also there was one here from the Queen's ex-chef talking about how ungrateful they were. It's just, it's incredible. So we can talk about that if you fancy. I couldn't really give much of a monkey's. They're talking about, you know, earning their own livings. Why not? What's it got to do with us? What has it got to do with us? 0344 499 1000. Here it is. The Queen's ex-chef Darren McGrady launches blistering attack on fame-hungry Meghan Markle. Guess the newspaper? Yeah, of course, it's the Daily Mail. And airhead Prince Harry and claims Princess Diana would have been ashamed of him stepping back.
Stay there for a bit. Stay there for a minute.
This is the story we were talking about before
we came
on air.
All the scumbags are coming out now selling their stories for 500 quid. How dare this man comment on what his mother would think of the situation, what Princess Diana would think of the situation.
In his professional authority as a former chef to the Queen, of course.
I can't wait for Burrell to come out.
Actually, he's been very quiet. I wonder why he is saying.
I wonder why. I would love it. I would love a phone call tonight. Because they put a little clip out last night or this morning of a bit from last night's show where I kind of did a little rant about how this is great that they've made this decision, that Meghan Markle and her husband have made this decision to kind of step down from the royal family and stuff. And the replies...
I know.
Was so angry.
The fury is real, isn't it?
And I don't know why. I mean, I do hope Piers Morgan is okay, because I think he's going to...
He seems quite heartbroken,
very
doesn't he?
Heartbroken. But he's a professional knob. That's his job.
The anger, his passport.
I really thought it was kind of nothing. A nothing-y kind of thing. But the anger... I'm going to say something that will upset people, but...
You astonish me.
We're going for it because I'm curious. I think this is the crack in the, what do they call the crack in the earth? This is like the San Andreas fault. Uh-huh. I wonder if there is anybody who voted Remain that is really angry about what Meghan and her husband are doing. I wonder if there's anybody who voted Remain who's really angry.
Now, just to clarify, that is not to say that everybody who voted the other way is stamping up and down like Rumpelstiltskin, furious about this one.
I'm just... Is there anybody who voted Remain that is more than miffed, is furious, because we saw some of the fury today on Twitter. So that's question one. Question two is, can anybody phone in and give me a good... All I want is one good reason why you're so angry about it. Because I can't work it out. I cannot work it out why people are so angry. At the very... Surely, I mean, I think it's kind of a cool thing to do. Surely most people just be shrugging their shoulders. Some people are going, well, he didn't tell the Queen.
That's
so what?
Between him and his gran, isn't it?
So what? One good reason. And you won't be shouted down. I'd love to have a conversation with you. One good reason as to why you are so angry that these two have decided to do this. 0344 499 1000.
Yeah.
So I can't think of one.
There's been a lot of kind of hand-wringing and clutching of pearls over this one. And some really curious women is poison type remarks being made about how he was great until she came along. She's stolen our prince. Wasn't that something someone heard on the radio
yesterday?
I think
that for some people, there is an element of racism. For some people that are angry, I think there is an element of racism. I think for some people, there is the fact that she is American.
An outsider.
She's an American. Mm-hmm. I think for a smaller number of people, maybe people like my mum, I don't know that, but people like my mum, the fact that she's a commoner, because that is still a thing for some people. We should be drawing a Venn diagram. But I cannot think of one good reason why people would be so angry.
They're talking about paying their way more. We don't know. That's yet to be absolutely specified, right? They're talking about continuing with their charity work and continuing to back up the work that the rest of the royals are doing.
Shouldn't we be applauding a young couple who are doing something for love? They're doing it for love. They're doing it for love.
The other thing is, a couple of months ago when they were complaining about how they were being treated by the press, there was a lot of, well, if you don't like it...
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're doing something about it. It's that thing of, if your partner comes home every night and they're fed up of work, sooner or later you're going to say to them, right, your two choices are this. You accept that this is the way it's going to be, or we do something about it.
We're also all forgetting that Harry served in the armed forces, which I do think deserves some respect. Mm-hmm. We also don't know what impact that has had on his mental health.
Also, let's remind ourselves, Harry has got nothing but time and money on his hands if he chooses, right? Mm. If he wanted to be the playboy prince forever, he could have.
Yep.
He's decided not to. He's settled down. He's a family man. And he's trying to take care of his wife.
I think some people preferred him when he got caught smoking a bit of weed dressed up as a Nazi.
Yeah.
I think people prefer that guy to what appears to be a responsible young man who is determined to, along with his wife, do the best for his family, even if it involves some kind of, setting a historical precedent. I don't understand. I bet the phones are not alive to the sound of people calling with good reasons as to why they're so angry.
I think they might have cried themselves out earlier in the day, but I don't know.
Snowflake got triggered.
We may be missing something massive. If we're missing something massive, 0344 499 1000, give us a shout.
If you want to go to the break, you've got to throw into it properly.
Like this.
On DAB Digital Radio, online and on mobile.
We are Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.